The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone. Good evening and welcome to a live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Sabin, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer. You can join us as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the hour here on the show. Tom, where do we start? Bears go to Green Bay. They come out with a 26-10 loss, 1-6 now on the season. And they've got a number of days off now before that Monday night game, Halloween night, against the Minnesota Vikings at Soldier Field. But they're reeling a little bit just from an injury standpoint heading into that game against Minnesota.
Right. You know, you got to look at it a couple different ways. You have to look at it from the sense of the fans. And the fans are really frustrated. Last week, and I live in the city of Chicago, I've never been approached by more people on the streets of Chicago in regards to their frustration with the Bears ever in my broadcasting or playing life. So you kind of get a feel of the general public, and they have so many questions, and they're going in every different direction. It's going from the quarterback to the entire offense to the defensive frustrations that they've gone through to expectations they had at the beginning of the season to where they're at right now at 1-6. And then they're kind of frustrated, too, because you talk about 10 penalties 3 weeks in a row. So if you have physical mistakes, you're always going to get coached on how to upgrade your play, your thinking process, and all the things that go into being a better player physically. But a lot of the penalties that you have that are mental penalties, they're unacceptable. So if you can stop the penalties, and I'm not asking for anything that's unrealistic. So if you get caught for holding or there's an inadvertent face mask or something that you're just totally out of control, then those types of things will happen, but they can't happen repeatedly. We've got back-to-back face masks, one by Willie Young and then one by, I think, Jonathan Bullard this past week. You have an offsides penalty by Alshon Jeffrey lined up as a wide receiver. The first thing you do is you ask the official right next to you, am I lined up okay? And then they give you the indication. So it's those little things that need to be corrected that are going to help the big picture. But then it's about individual performances, and they have to get better. Yeah, over this period of time, one game in 23 days, they may be able to get healthier, like when you're talking about the Jeremy Langfords and the Eddie Goldmans and the Eddie Royal and those types of guys, and they have to come in, they have to insert themselves and play at a high level. So, you know, there's a lot of questions here, Zach, and it's like I said, when you go into – and I've been there. I've been 5-11, and I've been 6-10 and stuff – and you go in there, and the coaches say, look, if it was just one thing, we can make that change. But this is more than one thing. And so it's about making sure that when they get on the practice field, the practices are conducted in a really serious manner. And that means, too, they got to be competitive. And if there's guys out there that are being competed against for their job, then so be it.
Part of the problem, I believe, is when you have injuries, and it's not just the injuries on game day. It's the fact that there are a number of guys who can't practice throughout the week because they're just trying to get their bodies right to play in the game. That affects the ability of the offense to be in sync.
But where are those guys? Are they veterans that can come in here and have an understanding of their assignments and how to be a professional on Sunday? Are they young guys that they don't have enough reps on the practice field in a professional level where that when they get out there and they're looking at a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, or they're looking at a defense that Dom Capers puts on the field, they're totally confused and they make their entire side of the ball inefficient, then, you know, maybe that guy's not worth playing. Maybe I go out there and I trust the reps to another player. And it's difficult because you're so limited in the NFL with a 53-man roster. It's not like you have a barrel of guys out there that you can just keep throwing them onto the field. But you know, you have to have better experienced players on Sunday.
You know, because when you take the wide look at how this has happened from an offensive standpoint in particular, you know, you start the season with Zach Miller and Eddie Royal essentially missing all of training camp.
Right.
So they're not out there working with the quarterback. The offensive line that you put together to begin the season, they didn't know that that was going to be the offensive line until Josh Sitton was signed a week before their first game.
Correct.
So then Cody Whitehair moves to center. You've got Kyle Long, who missed most of training camp after getting hurt in that second preseason game. So from a practice standpoint, you know, there wasn't a chance to put together the kind of reps that you need to establish continuity. And then you go into the season with this new offensive line. The running back that you had to start the year, Jeremy Langford, gets hurt early on. Then you go to Jordan Howard, has success early on. The offensive line's starting to click a little bit. And then you go to last night's game and you lose your starting guards. Just like that, by the end of the first half, you're without both Kyle Long and Josh Sitton. That's going to affect you, especially when you consider that Jay Cutler got hurt. You had to have a backup quarterback in there. Eddie Royal's not in there. You have red zone issues. You're playing a guy in Cameron Meredith who wasn't expected to play the role that he's playing right now because Kevin White was supposed to be that guy, took most of the reps during training camp with the first team. So all this starts to pile up, Tom.
Right, it is. And, you know, continuity is probably the most important aspect for an offensive line to go out and be able to block anybody anywhere at any time. When you talk about opening up in Houston and you don't have any communication between Josh Sitton and your first-time starting rookie center in Cody Whitehair, yeah, there, you know, give the immediate advantage to the defense. And even J.J. Watt comes out of the locker room, and he's a contributor. He gets the crowd fired up, and plus they have other assets there defensively. It is a difficult hurdle to overcome. And but, you know, you did see improvements, and you did see changes on the offensive line, and I think it did help Brian Hoyer be a better quarterback when the offensive line started to gel. But they also got a much more influence out of the running back position with Jordan Howard, because he was running the ball better. He was more of an influence against the defense. It helped the play-action pass game. And then you started seeing Zach Miller get involved more. Eddie Royal was making bigger plays. Still, though, for this season, we haven't seen the $15 million receiver in Alshon Jeffrey. He's been targeted 53 times without a touchdown. So, you know, all those things, you know, that are affecting the Bears, that's why they're not a very good football team right now. But when I look at Cameron Meredith, I like the enthusiasm that he's supplied to the Bears, because when someone is waiting in the wings and they get their opportunity, I want them to capitalize on it like Cameron Meredith does, because I think that's a reflection on the other guys there. Man, Jeremy Langford hurts his ankle. Jordan Howard has been great support at the running back position. So I'm never going to lessen my expectations. I'm going to raise them, but I also want the effort given in practice to make sure that you get a reflection of the guys who it's important to.
There have been a lot of players to come in and out of the lineup for a variety of different reasons so far over the first seven games of the season for the Bears. The one common thread, though, has been the inability to put the ball in the end zone consistently. The Bears have been ranked near the bottom. If they're not last, they're second to last, third last in points per game, and that's been the case throughout the entire season. How do you fix it? Because you go into the locker room, like last night, you go into the locker room and you'll hear coaches tell players, you know, they're not canceling the games. No one's going to feel sorry for us. We still have to go out there and play. So they have to find a way to put the ball in the end zone with what they've got. How do they do it?
I mean, you just have to be a better timed offense, because your windows are smaller. The length of patterns that you run are shorter. So, I mean, you know, everything about offense is perfection. When you have a specifically designed play, everybody there has an exact assignment. It's not getting into a general vicinity. It's not trying to get close to a landmark. It's being exact. So sometimes the quarterback should have the ability to throw the ball with his eyes closed, knowing the receiver's going to be there. And even if you go back and you look at some of the haunting experiences they had even last week against Jacksonville, Alshon Jeffrey runs a route and he cuts it towards the goalpost in the center of the field and the ball goes behind him. That's a play, you know, that's a series that they started first and six, and now that's the third down play they have, and the receiver and the quarterback are on two different pages. It's unacceptable. And I know that, you know, again, this is what I've lived through in my life as a player. And you have to know your assignments, and everybody has to be on the same page. So if it takes more personal time to invest in yourself and making sure that you understand the exacts of your assignment, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take desperate times in these desperate times for desperate measures are, however you say that.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll give you a chance to regroup. You've done a lot of talking here. We know the Bears are going to have a new starting quarterback against the Minnesota Vikings now that Brian Hoyer has broken his left arm. Who's it going to be? What's the answer? We'll discover next. We'll also talk to a high-ranking veteran inside the Bears locker room next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. If you're coming to the Vikings-Bears game, check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate, brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside of Soldier Field. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A guy that you're going to hear on 670 The Score all throughout the night tonight after us is going to be our guest right now, the Sam Acho, the Bears linebacker, employee number 49. And Sam, welcome aboard. You're now a radio superstar on this Friday in Chicago. But before we get to that, 4 hours ago, your teammate, punter Pat O'Donnell, tweeted the following: congrats at the Sam Acho for adding a new baby bear to the family. Hashtag bear down. There's a picture of you and the punter O'Donnell in front of your locker and a huge sign that says, congrats, Sam, it's a girl.
Yes.
Congratulations.
So Pat is correct. So there is a new member, a new bear in the family, a new member of the Acho family. A couple of days ago, my wife and I had a baby girl named Sophia.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. And so Pat actually made, I walked into the locker room, and I see this huge sign with pink, I think it was like equipment tape with Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so I see this sign. I'm trying to figure out who made this sign. I'm thinking it's, you know, we have a sports psychologist named Gloria, also someone who works with a team named Jen. And I walk in, and Pat comes up to me. He's like, what do you think? I'm like, dude, this is unbelievable. Who did it? And he's like, I did. I'm like, dude, this means so much to me. So, yeah, we had a baby girl. Pat made the sign, and I'm pumped. Pumped out. We already have a son, but number two is great.
Sam, do you realize, does it make you even realize even more now that your wife is tougher than you?
Oh, I already knew. here's what I knew there. I found out, well, I already knew when we got married, but even I found out when they were trying to give her some Toradol shots during the pregnancy or during the delivery, and she was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? I'm like, they give me Toradol shots in football, and I usually try to accept, you know? So yeah, she's tough.
Yeah, well, good. Hey, I got a question from the Jacksonville game last week really quick. On the big hit by Harold Jones-Corte that I think it created the fumble, and you reacted as such, and you went downfield and you were going to get a block, and Bortles, the quarterback, cut your legs out from underneath you, which is a penalty if they would allow the play to stand. And then he got up and jawed with you a little bit. Okay, that's the first part of the question. Then, in the last night's game, you had a couple of really good rushes and a couple of times that you came close or you hit Aaron Rodgers, and then I could see him saying something to you. What is the quarterback talk to a defensive player, maybe, that you can let us in behind the quarterback's face mask as how they approach you?
Yeah, well, most defensive players in general don't like quarterbacks. That's kind of just how it works.
Yes.
But one thing that I respect the most about the defensive players that I've been around and that I admire the most is that they're not necessarily trash-talking quarterbacks, but they're actually showing them some love because they're saying, hey, I'm going to be here again soon. And that's what I was telling Bortles. He hit me with an illegal block on that play, and he was jawing and talking trash. And so I was like, all right, I'll see you in a couple series, right? That kind of stuff motivates defensive players to play harder. Whereas you play a guy like Andrew Luck was patting me on the butt saying, hey, man, great rush when we played the Colts.
Right.
Good job out there, man. He makes you want to like him, and I don't want to like him. So anyways, that's what I had with Bortles. Even with Aaron Rodgers on the ball, I almost intercepted. He was saying, oh, man, you know, you're so close to a pick. I was like, Rodgers, I'm not your friend right now. We could talk after the game. You know what I mean?
Well, it was interesting just because, you know, it's almost like you have to hold back on your reaction because it's just going to be an instant of conversation, and you can't, you know, you can't taunt, you can't get in their face, you can't do anything these days. So, like, I admired the way you were against Bortles in the Jacksonville game, and then last night repeated, you know, a couple times you crossed, you know, close face to face with Aaron Rodgers, and you still had to hold back and give the effort after the ball is snapped, but you kind of got, you know, kind of hold back and just have a little bit of self-control.
Yeah, and everybody's different, right? Even with Bortles, I was, to be honest, like, I wasn't as upset as I thought I would have been after that hit because it was illegal and it was uncalled for, and he was trying to taunt me, right? But even today, he got fined like something like $18,000 for that. Yeah, he got hit big for that. So, and I'm not a guy who's gonna, I'm not a guy who's gonna react to something like that. My reaction is, okay, I'm gonna get you in the backfield, right? I had a chance in that game. A couple chances to get him. So that's kind of how defensive players think. We think, oh, you want to try and talk trash outside the lines or outside the whistles? I'm going to get you between the whistles.
Hey, Sam, how many interceptions do you have in your career?
I have three in my career.
Last night, you had it, man. You had it six.
Yes.
You read it so quickly. The offensive tackle made a kind of a weak attempt at trying to cut you. You never went for it. And it was in your hands. Were you already crossing the end zone, thinking about what you're going to do, your dance and everything? Or,
well, it wasn't even that, right? Like, it was one of those. It was a play where, so offensive line try to cut, you react to the cut, and I jump up in the air thinking, okay, this ball's got to be going up high. I'm up in the air and the ball hits me like right around my midsection. So on my way down, that's one of the ones where you're like, man, like those are the ones that you dream of, right? But even during the game, I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to get another one, right? I'm going to get another one. That's kind of how we're wired as players. We don't dwell on either past mistakes or past victories. You say, okay, I got a sack, I'm going to get another one.
Man,
I missed a tackle, I'm going to make the next one.
Your reaction was so quick, Sam, that I couldn't believe it because I already had you skipping across the goal line, and there's no way that anybody would have been able to catch you because the tackle was still on the ground. Aaron Rodgers was in total shock and disbelief, and I thought for sure you were running it in the end zone.
Yeah, and I mean, the good thing about it, right, okay, being in that position to make that play. Because I know that, okay, now the next time that a play like that comes, I'm going to make it.
We have so many more questions for Sam. Right. Sam, let's take a quick time out here. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. Because I want to ask you how this team bounces back from what's been a really rough start to the season. And also, you were outspoken via Twitter yesterday in regards to another player in the National Football League, and for good reason. We'll explain next here on Bears All Access with our guest, Sam Alcho, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman, and we are joined by Bears linebacker Sam Alcho for segment number two. And yesterday, prior to the Bears-Packers game, Sam Alcho got real serious. And for those that don't know, Sam is a union rep inside the Bears locker room, and that basically means he's involved with the NFLPA. He's the guy that everyone looks to when they have some issues to act as the ambassador, if you will. But yesterday, Sam tweeted, quote, "What Josh Brown did, number one, and how the NFL handled it is disgusting, embarrassing, and just about any other word you can think of. #priorities. Sam, what's the NFLPA's stance on what's transpired here with Josh Brown in that situation with the Giants?
Yeah, well, before I get to the NFLPA stance, one thing I'll talk about is just kind of as a, you know, sometimes people look at NFL players and they say, well, you should only be talking about things pertaining to the NFL. You shouldn't get involved in social issues or justice or politics or what have you. But in all reality, we're all human beings, right? So when I see a situation like, what I read about and heard about with Josh Brown, even when it started to happen, I was looking at some of the info that I read, and I was like, man, something's fishy about this, right? You look at domestic violence and domestic abuse, and then you hear that he had admitted to, he admitted to years upon years of domestic violence against his wife, and then you find out, okay, he gets a one-game suspension. He actually has a six-game suspension that was reduced to one game because of insufficient evidence. I look at other scenarios, and I'm like, man, we've got, people are getting fined and suspended and kicked out for dancing excessively, yet we have people, you know, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusing their spouse and significant other, and it's kind of not, people don't see it as a big deal. And to me, that's a big deal. So it should be our priority. And so, so that's my stance as an individual, as a human being, as a player in the NFL, but also just as a guy who sees injustice and doesn't really like it.
Sam Acho is our guest here on Bears All Access. And it's a new era, I think, in professional sports, not just the NFL, where, and you're an example of this, where if you see something that is wrong, that is just morally wrong, people are no longer afraid to say, hey, you know what? This is wrong. And there used to be a time where, you know, when you were a kid growing up, rarely did athletes ever speak out when they felt, even on the inside, that something wrong was happening. Why the change, do you think?
Yeah, and even you look at, I mean, you hear about stories about guys like Michael Jordan, who's the hero of, you know, some people wear Jordans, and he's a hero for so many, you know, guys who had hoop dreams, guys and girls who had hoop dreams. But then as you start to get older, you realize that there are a lot of injustices that he didn't speak up against. And as you start to understand, think about maybe one of the reasons why he didn't say anything or didn't act. And then so you think about those two things, and you also add in the fact that, okay, we are role models, right? You look at social media and the voice that a lot of celebrities or athletes now have, you want to use that voice. And I never want to be a guy, two things I don't want to be. I don't want to be a guy who just speaks just to speak, because I think when you do that, your voice kind of gets watered down. I don't want to speak about things that are important that matter. And then secondly, I don't want to be a guy who doesn't speak up when necessary, right? Like there's even like, you know, as a Christian, there's scripture that talks about speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves, right? So that's something that I hold near and dear to my heart. That's something that's how I've been even since I've been a kid in school. I would speak up for those who couldn't speak up for themselves. And so whether I played in the NFL or not, that's something that's always going to stick with me.
And I noticed that's something that you take into your charitable endeavors. And next month, right, don't you have an event? I know when we talked to you on Bears All Access last time out, you mentioned how you were putting together, you were planning stages. What's going on with that next month?
Yeah, so on November 7th, all the teammates and I, we're actually trading out our jerseys and putting on some aprons. We're going to do a celebrity waiter night at Eddie Merlot's on Monday, November 7th. So it's our bye week, so all the fans will be able to come out, spend time with me, all my teammates. Kyle Long is co-hosting with me. Also, former players, Alex Brown and Israel Adonijay, are going to be there. But a bunch of guys on the current team, former team, we're all getting together to raise money for a good cause, which is a charity that my family's been involved with called Living Hope Christian Ministries. And what we're doing is we're going to raise all this money to build a hospital in Nigeria. And so anyone and everyone is invited. We want you there. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of silent auction items, live auction items. You're going to be able to meet with the players, interact, mingle, have them serve you food, drink, whatever you're looking for. So for more info on that, to purchase tickets, you can just go to achowaiternight.com. And that's the easiest way to find out more info. Once again, that's achowaiternight.com. But it's going to be a blast. The guys are pumped about it, I'm pumped about it, and it's supporting a great cause.
You know, that's the amazing thing about social media, Sam. When you have an event like this and you can put it out there and so many people of your fan base, of the Bears fan base across the world can read about it and understand the missions that you're on and what your influences are. And then you talk about the social media response to a topic like the Josh Brown incident, that it's not only inside your locker room, that it is a worldwide expression of your concern on an NFL level. And it's an amazing what social media has done for the voice of NFL players, because reading about the topic, there's a player from every team in the NFL, they've had a response to it, and it's just amazing both how you can get a message and an opinion about that incident, or you can get everybody involved in your charity to get involved in such an important endeavor that you guys are committed to.
Definitely, and even going back to the Josh Brown incident, because it was funny, because I tweeted about my event, and then a couple minutes later I tweeted about what I just recently found out about Josh Brown and some of the new findings. If you can go online, you can read up all about it. But it was one of those things where you can't be afraid of what people are going to think, or what, you know, some people say, well, players don't want to speak up because they're afraid that the team won't like them or the team might cut them or they might be out of good graces with the coaches or ownership. And I think to a certain extent that some players do have that fear. But at the same time, when you see something wrong, you gotta say something, right? It should be the right place and the right time, right? You have to factor all that in. But yeah, you can't be afraid of what someone's going to think or say. That can't affect you doing what you know to be right.
Well, you know, Sam, you're one of the most well-spoken, intelligent football players, athletes, people that I've ever been around in my relations with the Chicago Bears for over 30 years. And I do think it's important when you're not on a pedestal, you're just standing and giving an intelligent opinion about different events that people should hear about. I respect you for that.
No, I appreciate it.
Our final few moments here with Bears linebacker Sam Acho. By the way, you can hear him on The Score after us. 7 o'clock, he'll be joining Lawrence, so he'll get into all of this stuff and then some. But let's get back to the Bears here before we say goodbye here, because I was talking with Tracy Porter right after the game on the field last night at Lambeau, and it hurt him to say that this team is 1-6. He was shaking his head because I know that this was definitely not in the plans. You guys really felt coming out of training camp that you could do some things this year. How has it gotten to this point, and what can you do to salvage going forward what's transpired here?
Yeah, and I still feel like I know we can still, you know, we haven't even got through half of a season, right? Some may say it's optimistic, or some may say that you're not being realistic. But I've been a part of a team. My first year in Arizona, we started off 1-6. We finished we won 7 out of our last 9 games. We went on a run. I've been on a team that's gone on a run before. Last year, you look at Kansas City. They started off 1-5. They won 10 straight and went to the playoffs hot. And so I was talking to Pat O'Donnell. We built a pretty good relationship, not only on our being together on special teams, but just us getting to know each other as teammates and as friends. And he's been on the Bears the last couple of years, and he's been a part of some bad seasons. And I asked him, I said, Pat, does this year feel like the last year's? And he said, man, this feels nothing like the last year's, right? Two, 3 years ago, the teams were 5-11 and 6-10, and those teams were fractured, and they were apart and divided. And this doesn't feel that way, right? Like, if you sat and told me we were 5-1 right now, I would believe you, right? Or if you sat and told me we were 1-5, I believe this. That'd be hard for me to grasp, right? So I don't see us as a 1-6 team. I know we're so much better than that. And someone asked me yesterday about Green Bay and how great Aaron Rodgers is, and I don't feel like they did that much against us, right? They had a lot of quick passes. They did a solid job, but we gave that game to them. And so I think we did the same thing with Jacksonville, the same thing with Indianapolis. And so there's not a doubt in my mind that we are still capable of reaching our goals. But as of now, it's a matter of perseverance, right? We have to persevere. What we're building right now, it doesn't seem like much, it doesn't look like much, but this is what we're building is the stuff of champions. You got to go through a little bit of this adversity and these hard times to be able to appreciate the successes when they come. And like Coach Fox always says, they're going to come.
You know, I think it's important for a guy like yourself. I saw last night late in the game, you guys get off the field on a third down, and you have the enthusiasm as if it was the first quarter, and, you know, you had your first, you know, off the field after a third down. And I see John Fox congratulating the players after they get the field goal block late in the game, or an extra point block. So all those types of things, no matter what the scenario is and how negative it may be, you have to have some sense of enthusiasm, because that is important for the young guys that are going through this experience for the first time in their life, to make sure that you keep a professional attitude of perseverance. So, seeing you guys late in the game, and seeing John Fox clap his hands and welcome the guys back to the sideline after something as small as the block extra point, or you celebrating after a third down and getting your defense off the field. Those are the types of things that other players look at you and kind of can feed off of it because of that.
Yeah, and it's not even – I challenge that a little bit, Thomas. I wouldn't even say it's an enthusiasm, which it is, but it's more of a faith and a belief, right? You've got to believe – and I was talking to Coach Rogers, our special teams coach, on the sideline. We were down by 2 scores with 4 minutes left in the game, and he was like, hey, I've seen this done before. Right, you have to believe it first before it can happen. I've seen teams down by 2 scores come back, tie the game, and win in overtime. with 4 minutes left in the game. I've been a part of games like that, right? So it's not necessarily enthusiasm per se. It's more of a faith. Like, football is a game of faith. Football is a game of knowing that you can do what seems impossible, right? Knowing that you can accomplish what seems very far off. And so that's the faith that you have in order to be a good football player and also to be a good football team.
Very good.
Good stuff, Sam. Thank you so much again. What is it? OchoWaiterKnight.com, right? That's the website?
OchoWaiterKnight.com. You can find all your info there. And like I said, me, Kyle Long, Alex Brown, but 20, 25 current Bears, also former Bears, Tom Thayer there as well. So we got some 85 Bear heroes there as well. So it's going to be a great event all around. OchoWaiterKnight.com.
Sam, thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
And you can hear more of Sam Acho right here on The Score. Right after us at 7 o'clock, we'll be joining Lawrence here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Bears All Access. Who's the Bears quarterback? Who's the next man up? We'll discuss next here on The Score. Pick up a Chicago Bears fathead inside your Sunday Chicago Tribune exclusively at your local Jewel Osco. Also redeem coupons from Dr. Pepper on each fathead. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. We're live, so join us if you have any questions in regards to the Bears. We have a lot of questions, such as now that you know Brian Hoyer has to recover from that broken left arm, who's starting at quarterback when the Bears take on the NFC North leading Vikings Monday Night Football in their next game on Halloween night?
Well, as a Bears season ticket holder, a Bears broadcaster, and an ex-player, I want to see Jay Cutler playing quarterback for the Bears. They're paying him $16 million a year, and I think that they should get that effort out of him. I think Jay would take a very enthusiastic approach to being back on the field. Now, that's given everything is medically cleared, that he can grip a football and he can throw it any distance that's required of him. You can simplify or you can reduce the offense a little bit if he's only comfortable doing a certain style of throw, uses athleticism, use a moving pocket. But to me, it's all about Jay Cutler here. And believe me, I've spent some aggravated times watching him play quarterback, but I think when you look at the Bears and to give them the best opportunity to go out there and compete, it's through Jay.
If they clear him, they don't have to tell us immediately.
No.
And why would you when an opponent's trying to get ready for the Bears and they don't know who the quarterback's going to be? How long would you stretch out that mystery? Because it would either be, right, at least with the quarterbacks that you have now, it would either be Cutler, medically cleared, or Matt Barkley, who we saw yesterday in the second half.
Well, you're taking a page right out of the book of the Minnesota Vikings. When they got Sam Bradford before the season started, they never said who was going to start up until they were required to.
Yeah,
90 minutes before the game, and I would go through the same process there. I'm not trying to make things easier for my opponent. And when you talk about the concerns in the pass rush that Minnesota has, they would game plan Matt Barkley a lot differently than they would Jay Cutler. So I'm not going to tell my opponent anything, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give the fastest paced, as physical a practice as I can possibly put on the field for Jay to get up to speed. And they're fortunate because they'll have an extra day of work with the Monday night game. And, so I my whole process would be to make sure I get the quarterback position ready.
And I'm down there on the sidelines during games, so I see what Jay Cutler is doing, very much involved, has the earpiece, so he's listening to the play calls from the offensive coordinator, Dow Loggins, in the coach's box. He's hearing whatever the quarterback out on the field hears. Last night when Hoyer went down and had to leave the game and wasn't around on the bench, obviously, because they're treating the arm, he was with Barkley sitting down alongside the quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, looking at the tablets, making sure that everyone was on the same page, because they were trying to simplify stuff for the quarterback to make sure that he could function effectively, given the fact that he didn't expect to play. And then he went to the offensive line, Cutler did, to make sure that, just from a cadence standpoint, everyone was on the same page. Can you... And obviously you look at it from a lineman's perspective, but can you illustrate for people just the challenge that took place last night in the middle of the game when Brian Hoyer went down and you have a guy who joined you as a practice squad player of week one in Matt Barkley, and now all of a sudden he's playing a real game against the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Well, you would hope that Matt Barkley has spent a lot of individual time invested in learning the offense, the terminology, and where all of his responsibilities are every time he calls a pass play. Because when you call a handoff in a running play, it's simple. You take reverse rollout, open rollout, whatever, shotgun, and just hand the ball off and let it go. But you have to understand what's being told you. But the communication inside the helmet can be very helpful. They can talk about the play. They can talk about personnel on the field. They can give you a little hint or clue on how to run it. But the key ingredient is to make sure after the play is called in the huddle by Barkley, then the thinking process starts. And to make sure he stays inside the framework of the cadence. Because the worst thing you want to do is get your offensive lineman in a herky-jerky position where they don't know the timing of the cadence and then they can't be explosive at the line of scrimmage or they can't explode out of their stance in a pass blocking responsibility. But, you know, Barkley's been around long enough where he should understand the offense. Again, go back and look at Bradford. How long was he around until he played for the Vikings and they've been able to get out of him what they have? So, you know, that's one thing about Barkley. I don't think they should have had to reduce the playbook at all. When he did go in the game, he had to be ready to go in there. That's why he was in full uniform and as a backup.
But don't you automatically want to find out what the quarterback is most comfortable with? Because obviously the things that Hoyer's comfortable with might be different than the things Barkley's comfortable with. So you want to call more
right.
of the plays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously. You know, the thing about it is the defense is going to be on high alert. Dom Capers is going to be on high alert for the running game to be a major part of the influence of the offense. So now I'm going to use the running game to put me in a pass scenario that's going to be most effective against the Green Bay Packers. So that is going to be a moving pocket. That is going to be a play-action fake. That's going to be identified routes. They're going to be easier for Barkley then as he has to go in shotgun with no backs in the backfield, and he's going to face a six-man rush. Now, that's the most difficult thing for Barkley to have to live through, and it puts a lot of strain on your protection and your offensive line.
You know, and it was so interesting watching him before Barkley went out onto the field with the offensive line. He's on the sideline, right at the edge of the field, you know, coming out of that commercial break when the team takes the field, and he's working with the linemen, screaming out the calls, so that way they can hear his cadence. That's
right.
Crazy, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's really hard because sometimes you go through a quarterback that has experience and he's really fluid with his cadence and it's the exact same every single time. And then you can get into a cadence that maybe he's from the South. Maybe he's got a different voice flexion. And if it slows the process down, even an instant, now that takes a lot of the aggressiveness
maybe
away from
the
offensive
South.
Line. Well, no. And I'll tell you the exact example. Because we're playing with a quarterback, it might have been like Mike Tomczak or someone like that, and he's from this area, he's got a real simple cadence. And then they put in P.T. Willis. Now, P.T.
Oh,
Willis is
accent.
From the South. Now, he's, say it, blue 14, blue, and it's a whole different cadence, and it challenges your explosiveness because it's not like, set, do blue 14, set, hut. And, you know, Jay's cadence is a lot different, a lot smoother, a lot quicker than it would be for a rookie who's trying to think as he's going through the cadence. And the process slows, and it, again, it challenges your offensive line.
Man, everything matters. I love this. This is great stuff. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabner. This is Bears All Access. You can join us as well. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show with Jeff Joniak, the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of those shows. Bears
sounds
All
like
Access.
A leaky faucet in the background there.
Yeah, you know, we just have the best the best music. It just gets you, it pulls you in. You know, we were talking about this during the break, you know, based on what we were talking about last segment, Tom, and Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zabin, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, about how every little thing matters in football and the cadence, and when you have a new quarterback and his manner of speaking may be different from the quarterback that he replaced. So if a guy, you know, has a New England accent as your quarterback, it's a little different if he's replaced by somebody from Texas and
right.
they've got that Southern drawl. So that all that stuff matters. And now when you listen on game day to you and Jeff and you hear the broadcast, and Little Z and Paul Zerang do a great job making sure that, you know, that the sound
John
blasts,
Flaws.
Yeah. John Flaws, blasting through the speakers of your radio, this rich sound. And, you know, they have the center's mic now throughout the NFL.
Right.
So you can really hear what's happening in the trenches. What should fans be paying attention to when they hear those extra sounds? Because I know you're listening to it.
Right. You know, first of all, if you go to the line of scrimmage, the center's going to make, or even the guards will help make some calls to make adjustments that are speaking specifically to the other offensive linemen. And then that filters backwards. Now you got the quarterback when he's under center. You can hear him and start looking at the defense where the linebackers are balanced. And now he's going to make some subtle calls to make everybody understand if he audibles to a pass, what linebacker is responsible in the pass responsibilities of the offensive line. And then you hear him go through his cadence. If he knows he still has enough time on the clock, he'll do a really aggressive hard count. It's called a non-rhythmic hard count. So you can't fall into like the rhythm as a defensive lineman. And now he's trying to make the defensive lineman be off balance, really, where they become like a little bit forward, a little bit backwards, a little bit forward. And then if you get guys that are on discipline, a lot of times that a quarterback can get the defensive lineman shifting his weight backwards and then gets the offensive line to explode off the ball, and it can get the advantage against the defensive lineman. So there are, you know, some really interesting voice subtleties that you can go to. And a couple of quarterbacks I played with Steve DeBerg my last year in the Miami Dolphins. He had one of the most unique aggressive snap counts that could help the way he talked to the offensive lineman but keep the defense completely off balance. And then I played with a guy in the USFL named Alan Risher out of LSU. And it would take him so long in a southern drawl to call the play in the huddle that we have to run to the line of scrimmage because he was just a slow talker. And it's really interesting because over a period of time, you will face a lot of different quarterbacks that have different ways about speaking to the offensive line and all the way to the line of scrimmage.
These are things that most folks don't think about when they're just watching a football game. It's really fascinating. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, so far, no one's found the answer to beating the Vikings. Do you have one? We'll pick Tom Thayer's brain next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman with you. And the Vikings are next up on the Bears' schedule. We still don't know who the Bears' quarterback is going to be. They'll likely play it out all throughout next week and keep it a mystery. And that's really the smart thing to do, I think, when you have an opponent that is undefeated at this stage. It may change after the Vikings and Philadelphia get together this week. But when you look at Minnesota and how they've gotten to this point, what stands out and why have they been unbeatable to date?
Sam Bradford is so good. He's been risen above all expectations given to him. He usually was an injury-prone quarterback in his other stops in the NFL. He's not been injured. They got an offensive line that they've had a patchwork together when they lost Matt Khalil early in the year, their left tackle. And they got speed. So, I mean, it's about, you know, defensively you have to rush and cover. And the challenge is going to be equal to what they just saw in Green Bay. Then on the other side of the ball, you better be able to run the ball with Jordan Howard, no matter who's playing quarterback, because they rush the passer so aggressively and so well that if you become one-dimensional, you don't stand a chance. And so that's, you know, and defensively, it's going to be about rush and cover. Offensively, it's going to be about making sure that you have a running game that's an influence to the defensive front.
I've noticed that when teams play the Vikings, and early on, you can see it when you don't have success running the ball against that defense. It's a really good defense. People give up on the run.
You can't. If you become one-dimensional, Zach, all you're going to do is get players hurt. And you always have to have the influence of Jordan Howard. Hopefully Jeremy Langford will be back. Kadeem Carey runs the ball really hard. And that is the best relief for whoever plays quarterback. And you got to make some attempt. You know, and you got to be stubborn about the run, because the run is an abusive game against the opponent's defense. And the more you can abuse your opponent's defense with the running game, the more in control you're going to be in the latter part of the game.
Well, hopefully the Bears, they've got a couple of days off here before they have a long week to get ready for the Vikings next week. Hopefully they start to get healthy, especially on the offensive line, the quarterback position. They need to heal up.
They got to get Eddie Goldman back. They got to get the defensive backs healthy. They got Bryce Callahan out there for the whole game. Everybody's got to be a contributor.
Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate the time. We'll talk next week. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com. Download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.